All right, welcome to the Money Lab Live Podcast, episode number 78, the Money Lab Special Money Series around Crazy Rich Asians, part one. Alright, welcome to back to another live broadcast of the Money Lab podcast from the Six Figure Academy. I am your host, Wei Hong from the Six Figure Academy. And this is the podcast where we give you tips, strategies, and interviews with other entrepreneurs on how to create that ultimate six-figure entrepreneurial lifestyle free of bad money stories, money anxiety, and stress so that you can monetize your dreams and execute your genius. Now, if you haven't already downloaded our free book, From Money Anxiety to Six Figure Mastery, make sure you go to go.thesixfigureacademy.com and get it there. It's the perfect complement to all the things we discuss on this show, and quite frankly, it could change your life. Now, if you're joining us live today and you're not on YouTube Live, make sure you get on Spreaker.com or download the Spreaker app on your mobile device and search for the hashtag TheMoneyLab so that you can join us in the chat room, ask questions, and interact with us and our guests today. And you definitely want to do that today because we get to have a free flow conversation about a new movie that just came out. Now, while you're there, subscribe so that you don't miss an episode and can catch us every week. For all of the ways to find us, go to thesixfigureacademy.com/radio for all the details. And if there's something that you love about what you hear on this episode today, and you never know what's going to come out today, and that you know that could help someone you care about, maybe another crazy rich Asian or crazy poor Asian, who knows, remember, sharing is caring. So share the show to that person. And today's episode is actually being sponsored by the Energy Mind Body Transformational Experience events, which run live, no pitch, full day events, where the goal is to have that one shift, one transformational experience to help you optimize your energy, mind, and body. Go to www.embte.com for all the details on the upcoming events. Now, I'm really excited about our show today because we are going to keep this series going on for as long as pretty much Crazy Rich Asians, that movie, for those of you who haven't seen it, it is a movie that's based on a best-selling book. And as long as it's still running hot at the box office, why? Because it's all about money. Think about the name of the title. Now, over the next few weeks, we'll intersperse the next few parts about with different guests. Today, we have Angie online. I'm going to tell you how we ended up connecting to get her on the show today and kind of what we had to go through. Next couple weeks, we have an Asian comedian coming in to talk about it. And a few more weeks down the road, I have one. Hopefully, I get one of those Asian celebrities that have already agreed to come on the show to continue to talk about all the different perspectives around the culture around Crazy Rich Asians and money, and talk about all the different layers, because I just saw the movie and it was interesting. So anyway, welcome to the show, Angie. Thank you for making it happen so last minute.
It's my pleasure. It's absolutely my pleasure. I actually love to kind of work under fire like that. So
yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm ready. You don't have time to think about it or to worry about it.
I know. Just go, right? Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like how
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I know. That's so funny, because the funny thing is, the interesting thing is, I put this out. I mean, I just came up with this idea saying, you know what? I should have an episode, or at least multiple episodes, where we get to talk about the movie, because I just saw the movie. When did you see the movie?
Sunday.
You just saw the movie Sunday.
The timing was perfect. I was like, are you kidding me? And I'd love to talk about this movie.
I just saw it on Saturday, and I was thinking to myself, I was like, whoa, this is a really important thing, because there's so many things that I liked about the movie, and there are quite a few things that I almost didn't like about the movie just because the way it was portrayed. But it's a very Hollywood thing, in my opinion, you know.
Yeah.
But how you ended up being on the show today was I put it out there on the Facebook APV. I said, I want to talk about this. Who wants to talk about the show with me? And at the 11th hour, Andrew goes, I'll do it.
Yeah. Why not? Well, obviously, I'm not Asian. But I have a lot of Asian friends, and I know the culture. But if you want, I can just kind of give you my 2 cents tidbit on, like, how I walked away from this feeling like this is, Crazy Rich Asians. But it really, like, the whole family aspect, the whole, like, psychology of relationship like that. I mean, there's just so much to talk about. I know.
So we have to actually probably give away some spoiler warnings for those that haven't seen Crazy Rich Asians yet. And you're on the show right now, you might want to watch it. We're going to do our best not to give away critical parts of the movie, okay? Because not until maybe part two, part three, when I have the celebrities or the comedians on, maybe we'll go a little bit. But for today, since it just recently came out, what, 2-3 weeks ago or something like that?
I don't even think, yeah, I think it's less than that.
Yeah, and so so what I want to do is I want to make sure that we don't give away too much.
Yeah,
okay?
For sure.
So let's talk about the premise. What is your perspective on what you... I mean, the movie is about crazy rich Asians, basically.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
And we're not talking about just regular rich.
No.
We're talking about ultra, ultra rich.
Ultra, ultra rich. Well, here's the thing, right? So even if you take it a step back, it's truly a love story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really walked away feeling like, okay, this is a true love story at its most human, basic foundation of, I just want to be loved for me.
Right.
Right. So the main male character obviously hasn't told the main female character, you know, about his wealth and about his family's wealth and how he keeps that separate until they, you know, are traveling to go visit the family. And so for me, it was like that's when the real story started for me, because it was like in today's day and age, right? People are like so consumed, and especially living, I'm originally from New York, now living in LA. And
yeah, let's talk a little bit about your background so that people actually have a little context. Like, who is this person talking to me about money?
Oh, sure. Okay, so I'm originally from New York. I'm born and raised in the Bronx, and it actually plays into how I felt about the movie as well, just coming from where I grew up and being raised by a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward, I went on to work for some major digital media companies like the Yahoos and the NBCs of the world for many, many years in digital media advertising. Then fast forward from there, I moved to LA and kind of have been a little bit of a nomad, if you will.
Right.
I had this hiccup in the middle of my career. I was at the height of my career. I had this hiccup in the middle of my career, which I think your podcast is so amazing because it's really given me a new framework to work from.
Oh, cool. Didn't know you were paying attention. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's really like, you know, when you are on the top of your game and you come from a certain, you know, mindset and area and success, and then transitioning over and out. So I started an executive coaching company. So I coach women in the media and advertising space who either want to up their career or come out of their career. But so many are still stuck in, like, they have to stay in those careers because that's where the money is. And it's like, actually, you can, like, 10x, you know, 100x that kind of money if you really realize the value in the skill sets that you have and how they transfer into the outside world.
Right.
And I also do some coaching around how adding other, like, other areas of passive income, because you can't rely on just one. You can't have all your eggs in one basket. So that's in a nutshell kind of where I'm at right now.
Nice. Very cool. Yeah. So you basically help women basically resolve, on some level, resolve their bad money stories and kind of help them break away from those belief systems, right?
Yeah. I mean, yes. And it really starts with, I mean, it's so similar to like the, you know, Crazy Rich Asian story. It's like there's a deep-seated cultural idea that A, you know, you should only have enough, and B, if you have way more than, you know, like, who do you think you are if you have all of this money, right? So when I was, you know, in that seven-figure income in a corporate setting,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I mean, I get it. I was, the ego was there, whatever, but I was like, oh, I worked for my money. Like, I worked hard for this money. I could do whatever I want with it.
Right.
And people would be like, well, who the hell do you think you are?
I could do whatever, be whatever.
You're the working girl in the Bronx, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, what I love about what the movie did was kind of put in perspective that there's you know, wealthy, there's uber wealthy, and then there's the so wealthy you own half the country wealthy type of wealthy.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like if you have any kind of event, all of a sudden it becomes a national holiday that you're having an event because you're that wealthy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think, you know, and it's kind of crazy. It's like so many people don't fathom that kind of wealth. They can't fathom that kind of wealth. And it exists.
Yeah, it absolutely. And I heard somebody told me that, I think the person I went to see the movie with, they said that, this is based partially on a true story. I mean, the real, some of the people, the players in the story are actually, it's based off of real people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Which I would imagine, right? Like I could totally see that, happening in many different countries where you have like that foundational kind of, you know, somebody had to build it. Right.
Exactly. Somebody had to do it. Right. And then they said, I mean, they basically said before the family came in, you know, the Singapore, I think is where they it took place, is like, was nothing. It was just a bunch of jungle. And this family basically through generations is completely modernized. And for those of you who've ever been to Singapore, beautiful place. And so I think part of the truth behind the story was that it was based on loosely on the family that was able to kind of impact Singapore that way.
I mean, I guess it's kind of like the same thing that's happening in Dubai right now, too, right?
Yeah, the families that just basically kind of shape that, you know. And it's kind of like a modern day, you know, because back in the day, when before money was the way to do it, you basically conquered the land. And whatever family, whatever generation, or whatever clan conquered the land, they're the ones that were responsible for taking it to the next level. Just like when the Mongolians took over China and they broke it away from the whole dynasty stuff, and then they changed the landscape of how China was going to be. And then another group came over and took that back. And every time you see that, a change in the history, a little shift would happen. Mm-hmm. A new evolution or new inventions or new technologies, you know, all these different things. So, you know, it's there's something really cool about recognizing and honoring those ultra wealthy now in this day and age. It's not about conquering and killing people, but it's about using money to basically shift the next evolutionary step of that place.
Right.
But I can imagine, I was sitting there watching a movie, and I don't know if this showed up for you or not, if that depending on what kind of money story you grew up with, you would have a different perspective and maybe even a judgment on the avatars that were represented in that movie.
Absolutely.
You know, the hardworking single mom, the hardworking student that became a professor, and then the kid that was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. And, you know, I'm curious as to, you know, I mean, coming from where you came from, and there's almost like a similar path, what was your perspective? What was running through your mind as you were watching this different scenario? Because I'm sure it triggered a few things about your childhood growing up and your path in life.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's funny because after I left the movie theater, I was with a friend and I was telling her how, you know, when I started in my career, so again, I was raised by a single mom as well. And, you know, it's very similar to the main character in the movie. Yeah. And I ended up living on Park Avenue. So, you know, I lived on Park Avenue, 36 in Park. Like, I lived on Park Avenue.
Okay. Right? How do we describe that for those that don't know what Park, the significance of living on Park Avenue is?
Yeah. So, New York City, Park Avenue, like, right by Grand Central Station. It was, that part of New York is called Murray Hill. It's mostly older money, or, like, a lot of families would, like, pay for their kids to live in these, like, luxurious doorman buildings that were in, like, it's prime real estate, basically.
So you went from the Bronx to Park Avenue.
Yeah.
I mean, after you were done with school and you went to work and everything?
Yeah.
Wow. That's an interesting shift. I mean, I'm curious about that. I mean, how did that feel? How did you decide that? I mean, was it scary making that decision that I'm going to go live on Park Avenue? Or was it just like, of course I'm going to do that?
You know what? For me, you know, I've been, and it's so funny because it's like, I think I've been doing a lot of reflecting back of who I was back then. Mm-hmm. And back then, for me, nothing was out of reach. I was like, oh yeah, I'm just going to go live at this place. Like, it wasn't like a thing. It wasn't a thing until people started making it a thing.
What do you mean people started making a thing?
It wasn't a thing until people started making it a thing.
And bringing it to your attention.
And bringing it to my attention.
It's like, holy cow, you're on Park Avenue.
Right.
Wow, you're on Park Avenue, right?
Right. People were like, who pays your rent? You know, like, oh, how much money must you be making? Like, all of this stuff. How many roommates do you have? Like, the whole nine yards. And it was just like, wow.
So why did you originally want to go to Park? Was it more convenient to go to where you want to go? Or
it's just honestly, the opportunity just came up. And it just happened. Like, it wasn't even a thought. It wasn't even like I decided this is where I want to go live. It was just like, oh, this is a great apartment. Let me grab it. You know?
Oh, so it wasn't even part of your reality that Park Avenue was so
not at all. It wasn't until later, and then but that also started creating this kind of like, oh well, you know, hey, you know, I'm making it.
Moving on up to the east side.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, I went through the whole, like, you know, I was making a lot of money, I was changing careers, I was moving through my careers, and I had a lot of adversity because I was Puerto Rican. It was like, so many people would be like, oh, you're, you know, hey, you're J-Lo's twin or you're whatever. You know what I mean? It was like right when that was kind of starting to happen. And it was like, oh, I wasn't as good as everybody else.
Back in the Fly Girl days when J-Lo was still a Fly Girl.
I was like, what? I'm now. Look at her now. And, but, you know, it was also this thing of like, am I going to let it hold me back or am I going to let it propel me forward and continue to charge forward? Mm-hmm. And I really like charged forward. I was like, nothing was going to stand in my way. And that just led to so many other things. And
right.
And now I'm here in LA.
Yeah. So cool. So what was it that was the most, what part of the movie that really, was there any part of the movie that you were watching that you sat there and like, ooh, that really kind of struck a chord, you know, in terms of how they were behaving or a piece of chatter that popped up or something, you know?
So right at the end, when they're playing, what is it, Marjan?
Yeah. They're
so
playing
when they were playing that, right? When she actually comes full circle, because I think for me, it was her journey through what was going on in her head, right? Mm-hmm. It was like, she was successful. She was this professor of economics. She was all those things. She had proof of all of the success that she had. So it really, in actuality, didn't make her lesser than anybody else in the room, right?
Right.
But it was interesting to see how easily we can float back into our kind of
right
nothingness, right? Into right, like, oh, I'm not as... You know what I mean? And yeah, so people started lifting her up and being like, no, this is what you do. Like, you teach. It's a game. Like, you're gonna step up. You're going to show them what you have. And that last conversation that she has with the mom, which I think that, pay attention, people, when you get to that point, because that was critical for me. That was just kind of like, here's what it is. It's either going to be this or it's going to be this. Either way, I'm still a part of it.
Right, right. And so, yeah, it's... You know, it's that part for me was very kind of, the fact that it's just, I mean, I'm Chinese, so there was so many layers of Chinese-ness in that whole movie that stereotypical and a little bit overplayed out. So I was kind of torn watching the whole thing because a part of me was like, yeah, that sounds very familiar. Yeah, that's about right. And there's a part of me is like, why do we need to perpetuate this stereotype, this belief system, you know? And at the same time, it's not that far. I grew up where the measure of success was money.
Right.
How much money that you made. And then even so, like, and it was like, you know, I love my mom, but I'm going to use what she said to me anyway. Mm-hmm. She said, you know, why don't you find somebody to marry who comes from a well-to-do family and is well-educated? And I said, why? Are you insinuating that I can't make my own money? And then she's like, no, life will just be easier. And I think years ago, she realized there's something different about my kid, that his life might be a little bit up and down because I think he's an entrepreneur and we don't have very many of those in our house. So we don't know what's going to happen with this guy,
right,
you know, right. And you know, rightly so. I mean, some of the things that I went through, my mom was probably right on, you know, right in the button. And then had I found myself a sugar mama, then maybe things would be different, or maybe not.
Yeah. And I hear you, because it's kind of like in my family the same thing. It's like people are like, wait, what? You're gonna now not go back to a company? And I'm like, no, I'm gonna create my own thing now. And has I gone through struggles? Have I had to go through like my own money story and issues and all that stuff? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. But that's, it also taught me so much about who I was when I was in this other world. Right.
Yeah.
And so
I actually, now that I know, I didn't know this much about you. I just said, hey, let's get on the show and let's talk about it. So let's make sure we debrief afterwards and let's get you formally on the show as a guest, because I was just like, wait a minute, you should be here as a guest, like as a formal guest, not just talking about Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah.
I didn't even know the title of it. I was like, someone says, did you see that new movie about, so what, Rich Ass Asians or something like that? So that's what it should be called. I bet you that's what it was called at one point. They decided, from a PR standpoint, that might not work so well.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I love it.
But
I would love to come on again. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, But for today, just so we can stay on point, because I'm sure, I mean, it's going to be triggering for a lot of people. I just watching the whole thing, whether you're Asian or not. And that's why I'm really looking forward to the guests I have coming on in a couple of weeks. One's a comedian. So, oh, my God. I mean, we'll see what
I
he
can
says.
Imagine.
He's Asian. He's a comedian. And he speaks his mind and he says, yeah, I want to talk about that movie. I'm like, all right.
Love it.
And then I have one of them who's actually friends with a lot of the people in the movie. He's a bit of a celebrity himself, and he's been talking about it on his own stuff. I said, hey, come on my show, we talk about it. And he goes, okay. And so he'll be coming on. But I think the more real conversation was kind of be for today, like people who are not Asian, people who are seeing it from an almost like I didn't grow up in the whole Asian thing. But then it's not like, you know. But I think because you grew up in the Bronx, you're very familiar with that whole area, NYU and everything like that, and how the protagonist, how she grew up and everything like that. Yeah. It's a lot closer to home for you than it would be someone who grew up in LA.
Right. Yeah, right. For sure. No, for sure. I mean, you know, I think that whole thing too of just kind of even her traveling, right? Like that when they got on the airplane and like
she's like, what?
Oh, no, we can't afford that.
You know? I know. She just made that assumption. It was a knee-jerk thing. And and what's fascinating is that without her knowing about her boyfriend's background, right, she just made the assumption. So it's, you know, it's interesting to me. I don't know if you picked that up or not. Like, she made an assumption that he was just like her.
Right.
Even though he never really shared, so she just assumed.
Right.
Now,
right.
I wonder.
Which that part of it is kind of like, and if it's set in modern day time, it's kind of like,
why?
Come on, girl, you knew.
Maybe, or maybe he was just so adept at it over the years of hiding that part of him. Because I can only imagine if someone grew up and he was like, everywhere you go, he's famous. Everywhere he's go, he's paparazzi with the fellow Chinese people and stuff like that. So I bet you he probably spent a lifetime knowing how to kind of fly under the radar.
Right.
And then.
Right. True.
You know, so there may be something. I mean, we don't know the backstory, of course, but I guess if you read the book, you probably be able to find out. Crazy Rich Asian, the book. I'm gonna have to read that book now, just because I think it's part of a series. They got greenlit for a sequel or something like that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
oh,
awesome. I don't know if it's. It didn't seem like a very sequel-ish type of movie to do, but it seemed pretty. It ended pretty.
Right,
cleanly,
like whole,
I mean,
like
yeah,
complete.
Whole. It's like complete. I don't know what they're gonna do unless they make it like, unless they make, you know, crazier, rich, crazier and richer Asians. I mean, I don't know what they're gonna do. I mean,
they'll probably bring it back to like, you know, what happens, like how they raise their kids or something, right? Because she's this kind of like, you know,
yeah.
Regular, right, quote unquote regular. He's like the super rich. So hot, like, does she move to Singapore? Does he take over the business? Do they stay in New York? Like,
yeah. So I wonder, going back to that whole thing about her assuming that you know, he was just like her, I wonder how many people in relationships going in not have that conversation about money, not have that conversation about the background that each person grew up with from an economic or financial standpoint, and just assume,
right?
I mean, people do it all the time. We just assume that the person that we're with is just like us and vice versa without actually knowing. So I think there's something there. I mean, have you ever done that? Been in a relationship and you didn't really know, but you didn't bother to ask, but you just assumed, he's probably just like me. That's why we get along so well.
Yeah. I mean, I think definitely it's kind of like human nature, right? You want to meet somebody and what you think is that you're meeting them where they are at, but really in reality, they're meeting you where you're at. So wherever you're at, you better be careful and choose wisely.
Right. You're both trying to meet each other where each other's person's at, and all of a sudden you lose each other, and all of a sudden you're like, there's this whole turmoil thing.
It can turn into, but yeah, no, I definitely have been on both sides of that kind of relationship or conversation or whatever. It's been interesting for sure.
And that could be a whole different conversation in itself, you know.
Now that can go. That's a whole other series.
Yeah. So I have, you know, I was wondering also, I mean, when I watched it, the part of me that I started to kind of, as the movie progressed, I was a little bit, I started getting a little bit annoyed or a little bit peeved about how Hollywood still, to this day, continues to portray on some level how the ultra wealthy are totally jacked up and messed up. You know, I mean, I don't know if they portrayed it completely, because like you said, it's kind of a love story. And yeah. I was talking to one of the people that was working at the theater, and he had seen it, and he goes, yeah, it's actually surprised me. I was originally going in and thought, oh, here's another chick flick. I got to watch my girlfriend. And he started watching, and he actually enjoyed it. And he said, I actually cried in a couple parts. I'm like, really? Aww. Okay, cool. And then as I watched it, I was like, okay, I can see where those are. And it actually hits home a lot more if you're Chinese or Asian. You actually right. are really really in tune with your culture, per se. You know, right. Not to say that if you're 6th, 7th, 8th generation, you won't feel it. But I'm first generation here from Taiwan. And, right. You know, Taiwan is like, you know, has a different set of, you know, ultra wealthy that hang out there because... I mean, for a while, Taiwan parts basically ran the tech world, you know, mm-hmm, until mm-hmm. they all moved to China because it's cheaper there to make. And then in China, there's a so my father was working in China for a little bit, and he was working pretty much directly with the government. So connected to the government are also these ultra multi billionaires. He was working with these people that are funding the entire tech campuses and everything like that. And these are the people that basically kind of what the movie is. I still remember there was a story my dad told me that they were sitting in the waiting room waiting for an airplane to take off. And he was with all these, you know, these ultra crazy rich Chinese people. And the plane was waiting for them. All the people were on the plane. And this one, the flight attendants came over to the room. This is where my dad got kind of like went like this because he was so embarrassed.
Yeah.
The flight attendant came into the waiting room and says, everybody's on board. We've been waiting for 20 minutes. It was supposed to take off 20 minutes ago. And the ultra wealthy people in the room said, we're not done here yet. Come back later. We'll let you know whenever we're ready to go. The entire flight wow. waited for these ultra wealthy.
Wow.
And there was nothing they could do about it because of the level of affluence and influence these yeah. people had.
Wow. You
know? Now, granted, China is a little bit not like our world here. It's a little more communistic. And it's yeah. a little bit more lopsided when it comes to money and who yeah. the have and have nots, right? But just another version, you know?
Yeah.
And that's even more, you know, I wonder if they can even make a movie about that without the China government shutting them down.
Right.
Like,
right.
You can't show that, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering what you think about that in terms of, you know, there's so many instances that proves that to be true. Like, ultra-wealthy people are, like, they're on a whole different scale and at the same time kind of annoying and kind of, like, yeah. braggadocious or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big one, too. But, you know, and it's interesting because you have that kind of super old money, right? It's,
right.
like, legacy money.
Yeah.
And then we're living in a world where... you know, becoming a seven-figure earner is like the new thing, right? It's
right.
like, you know, everybody can be a millionaire today,
right.
Which I believe is true, but at the same time, it's like at what cost of humanity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
what do you mean, to be a millionaire?
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, in the sense of like, okay, so there's a ultra, ultra, ultra rich, which I don't know, I guess.
I don't think there's even a number that on that anymore for those types
right.
of people.
Right, right. So, right. So that's like up here. And I don't think people really understand also like the ones who are like the people, like regular people, right, that are working towards creating wealth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever type of wealth that they need for their family, like that it does take work. It doesn't just drop in your lap. And I think that's the biggest misconception that happens today in like, you know, our younger generations who can see a movie like that and see the people in that and they're like, oh, I want to be like that
mm-hmm.
on the other side, right? But it's
mm-hmm.
like, well, number one, that's legacy of 150 million years, and number two, you can create it, but you need to work for it, right?
Right.
And it's not a matter of like, oh, you gotta work hard. It's really like, you know, how are you gonna be strategic? What are you gonna, you know, like the plan,
right?
Like, the thing, and so it's, I think, the kind of space in between,
yeah,
of what does that make you, like, you know, like. Do you want to get rich just to get rich? Like, what is that space in between? Because I think, like, what
right.
you were saying earlier, they're portraying crazy rich Asians. I was like, they're all crazy, like, the crazy part. And it's like, well, they're actually kind of regular if you think about it. Like, the cousin that her husband was cheating on her because she was the, you know, she was the one with the money and he wasn't, and he felt like, you know, she wasn't really.
I love what she said at the end, though, because I was right? like, yes. I was like, yeah.
Oh, no, I know. I'm trying not to say it. But I know.
So we're not going to give that away. No.
No. But that was like that was another part for me personally, because I was married and it was like literally you could have taken that out of my life.
Really? Oh, yeah, because you're okay. Yeah, because you created your success on your and then he came into your life.
I mean, it was like.
So that's a great message. So men listening out there right now, if you happen to come across a uber successful, beautiful, you know, happy woman that wants to share her life with you and you're feeling small or feeling emasculated because she's making more money than you, get over it. Get over it. Enjoy it. You know, be proud that you potentially have a sugar mama that loves you for you and you love her for her. Leave it at that. You know, I mean, it's one of those things is where, you know, that male ego is just so frustrating sometimes. And speaking, coming from it, and I hope my own group of my own sex doesn't like vilify me for this, but I'm telling you, that's what, you know, crumbles men. Who get into these positions and they completely foobar themselves by messing it up with powerful, great women in their life who don't care about the difference between the financial income they're making compared to you. Now, if you are with somebody who's using that money as a way to rub it in and stuff like that, that's a different story, right?
Yeah. I mean, and again, like, you know, even with that, right, it made me definitely look at my past and how I was and what did I do, right? Because I firmly believe.
Here, give me the pants.
right. I mean, you know, her like walking in and buying a pair of earrings for $1.2 million and hiding all of that stuff. Like, I got it. Like, I was like, oh, okay. I can see where. I mean, I didn't buy $1.2 million earrings. But there was definitely.
But it's like 1.1.
You know, that new car in the driveway. Like, oh yeah, I just picked that up.
I'm just borrowing it.
You know, so, you know, there was parts of it that I was like, oh, I see. Yeah, I get it. You know, but it was just, I mean, yeah, go see the movie. It's amazing. That piece was...
Yeah. It's... No, and so I think there's a big piece. There's, again, another piece right there when it comes to men who happen to come across women that they're attracted to, have a relationship that's develops independent of understanding of wealth and everything like that. And all of a sudden... I mean, and what I saw in there in that moment was he's got a bad money story running. He did.
Oh, he does, yeah.
A terrible money story running where basically his worth was dictated, his manhood was dictated by whether or not he was able to be financially equal or competitive or even better than who he's with.
Right, but she also made it, like if you really watch her throughout that, you know, their relationship, she kind of, you know, help that story along. She didn't help it.
Yeah. It takes two, right? It takes two to maintain a story.
She'd walk in and it was like, okay, hide everything, you know? And that's also like, why do you have to hide everything?
Right.
So she's also proliferating that conversation.
I wonder if it was not always like that. You know, we don't know, of course, because it's just a movie, but what if before that she was not doing that and she started to notice that he was getting annoyed or he would like feel lesser than, and he's like, why can't I do this for you? You know, I think one of the things that could come up from men who truly and they say, what do I get? It's like kind of like that question, what do I get for someone who has access to everything?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think what's missing in that piece is then you're not really looking at that human being for what that human being is.
Oh my God. Is this a relationship show? Because you're like...
It's all related, though. It is all related, you know?
There's so many good nuggets. You can really break down the whole movie into these real life conversations because it's so true. It's like, you know, and I go back to even when I was in my marriage, I had a moment. It was exactly like that. I bought myself a very lavish gift. You know, he comes home and he's like, what do I get? Somebody who can get anything she wants. And I'm just like, but then you don't know me.
Yeah. And you start singing that song, You Don't Know Me.
Yeah.
And it started going off. Yeah, you start playing it loud. It's like, you don't know. Get all angry. No, but what was that? The First Wives Club? What was
I think so. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Don't ask me how I know that movie. No, I don't know. But
it's It's
great. But that and beaches and.
Oh my god!
How do I know all these movies? No, but
no wonder your mom was worried. Home watching chick flicks.
I know exactly. He's like, "What's going on with him?" He's like, "No, that's how I understand women." You know, I had this whole thing about you know, when I was younger. Someone had said to me, "Oh, men are from Mars, women from Venus, and guess what? We'll never figure each other out." And I said, "Oh yeah, I'll take that as a dare." And I went on this journey of learning about women on every level. Every time I went to the library, I would get my books, and then I would start reading women magazines and all these different things. Just kind of, I'll figure it out. Ask me today if I figured it out. No, still answers. No. After a lifetime of like researching and trying to explore.
Spreadsheets.
I know.
Graphs.
I know. Flip charts. Flow charts. If this, then that. Oh, no. Gosh. But
We need to do a series of this on The Bachelorette or like Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And say how is money impacting? But here's the thing though, because a lot of even the undertones of Bachelor and Bachelorette is like, you know, how successful are you? You know, are you a self? I hate that word, by the way. Self-made man or self-made? Right. There's nobody self-made. There's this, you know. I just saw it on a post again. Somebody commented, you know, name some person that inspires you, and they named somebody that I don't know who that was, but they basically said because he's self-made. I was like, what does that even mean? You know, I did a whole thing about that, whole Facebook Live about that. It's like, there's no such thing as self-made. I think that's borderline arrogance, because there's no way you can self-made unless you you know, you lived off the land, you created your own thread and created your own clothing, hammered out and, you know, made your own car, refined your own gasoline. You know, everybody in the world on somebody contributed to facilitating you becoming successful.
Exactly.
So the next time I'm working on a new hashtag called hashtag PITF, which basically stands for punch in the face. So
I love that.
Right. So next time anybody says to me is like, I want to be a self-made millionaire, or I'm a self, or is talking about some self-made anything, I'm just going to hashtag PITF. Are you ready for this?
I love it. I think that's fantastic.
Because
I want a nameplate with that.
It's like one of those, because there's a lot of those moments, right? You're just, especially as coaches. And then, you know, we invest in being able to kind of really see the depths and the layers beyond the BS. Yeah. And then we're seeing it's like, really? Yep. You're still holding on to that
from
story?
New York, and then being from the
I know. Exactly. It's so East Coast. That's an East Coast hashtag, even though I don't live there. I need to. That has got to be a meme. That's going to be the meme, and it says hashtag PITF. Okay, I'll work on it.
Okay.
I will work on it.
Sure.
But I think going back to the whole relationship, because that was a big, there was a lot of, I mean, the whole movie is around the relationship stuff. And I think it kind of speaks to the whole perception that, you know, that belief that the number one reason why relationships fail is because of financial reasons.
Yep.
And I'm always the first to say that is a cop-out. Yeah. Because money doesn't care if you use it as a scapegoat, and that's why people use it as a scapegoat. They blame money when in fact it's nothing about the money. It's a cover up for something deeper or something has nothing to do with money.
Amen.
Because if you take the money piece away, you're still gonna have those problems.
Right.
You know, you'll just find some other reason. You'll blame it on potatoes.
Right.
Why did your marriage fail? Because of potatoes?
Yeah.
He said potato, I said potato, and then that was it. Harry Met Sally.
Oh my god,
this is a movie reference episode.
I love it. It's great.
So that part resonated with you really, really well because of your own experiences too. Now let's go back to the fact you said you were you grew up in a single parent household as well.
Yep.
Your mom raised you, so that probably struck a chord with learning about that. And that big reveal at the end when they found out like why she was not a good fit, and they were using that as a reason why she wasn't a good fit. I mean, hopefully that didn't resonate too with you guys.
No. Yeah. No.
You guys, your mom was legitimately single.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing, right? It's kind of like, you know, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's like, you know, so you have this strong person that goes off and wants to do everything, her complete, like, animalistic human, every kind of right that you can possibly do is take your child, protect your child, move, give them the best that you can possibly give them. Right. And sometimes that means a major sacrifice, like, you know, working 2-3 jobs, living not where you would ideally want to live,
right.
Not maybe going to the best schools or whatever, right. But like, you know, instilling this kind of grounded,
yeah.
you know, family value that you can't replace with money.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. And so to then have her succeed at the level that she succeeded, but yet not be recognized for that only because of the dollar value behind her upbringing or her family.
Right.
What, intense. It's intense.
I know. And
it does come up, and it still comes up in modern day. Like, it's still.
Well, I mean, like you were just saying, you just said right from the get-go, sacrifice, right? And I think there was an undertone of that in the movie as well. It's talking about what you need to. It wasn't like whether or not you want to.
Right.
It wasn't even a choice.
Right.
It's like you need to sacrifice, right? Yeah. And yeah. So the journey that I got. Like my dog's hair in my face, but you got this journey that even the all previous generation found themselves going through about questioning their sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so let's talk about that a little bit in terms of mm-hmm. because I bet you there's still a lot of belief out there about this need to martyr yourself for the sake of success, the need to Ooh. Sacrifice
yeah.
for success,
yeah.
Because despite the world we live in and have people become more empowered, more enlightened and everything like that, I think there's still a really big push out there for that. If you're going to make it, if you're going to create success, there needs to be a sacrifice at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bullshit. I mean, listen, and I say that from the bottom of my heart with all the love in my heart, because the thing is that I had that belief.
Uh-huh.
And
so you lived, you've been there, done that. You lived
I've
it.
Been there.
Like, what did you sacrifice to create to get live on Park Avenue?
Well, I don't think. I mean, I don't even think about it back then because I was so much younger and, you know, just kind of like, you know, almost like a bull in a china shop. Nothing could stand in my way. I'm
right.
thinking more so.
You were
like,
indestructible. You're
right. Yeah. I mean, I think this now is like this whole, you know, reinvention that's been happening for me in the last 5 years and. You know, oh, well, you know, you, yeah, the things you sacrifice now, whatever. I mean, whether it's material things, whether it's, you know, socializing, whether it's even your health, right?
Like, yeah. That's the worst sacrifice that I see happen way, way too often.
Right. And a lot of that starts to come from, you know, a lot of old beliefs start coming up,
mm-hmm.
like beliefs that aren't even yours. Like, I'm like, when did I start thinking that about lack? When did I start thinking about like, oh, this is going to be so hard and it's going to take me 10 years. And
right.
it's going to like, when did all of those things start happening? Well, guess what? They're not actually mine. They weren't my beliefs. It's like, oh, all of a sudden, you know, my mom or my dad, who I adore, but like, you know, they're like, get a stable job, get a this, do that. It's not easy out there. It's this, it's that. And you're like, oh, yeah, okay.
So yeah, it is not easy. Okay, it's supposed to be hard.
Right. It's supposed to be hard. And so then you start living in that paradigm, and then it does become hard because what comes to you matches you, and what you focus on is what you're going to get. And so
yeah.
it's like the cheesiest.
Spoken like a real coach.
I know, right? Like the cheesiest things I could possibly say, but it's so freaking true.
Yeah.
It is so true. And I see it every single day. I see very, very, very successful women who are exhausted in their lives and in their careers. And it's like, they can't even fathom like leaving it. And oh, it's going to be so hard. I'm going to have to sacrifice so much. And
right.
I'm like, wow. Only if you decide, don't decide that.
I got to sacrifice this much.
No, but I can say that from a place of like, oh my God, I went there. Don't do it. I know what's on the other side. Like, you know,
right.
So what I'm trying to do also in that kind of work is like really say, okay, wait, let's take your skills, like let's snap people out of that and let's
yeah.
get them like turned around and making money in their passion or their purpose quicker, you know, sooner rather than later, so that they can have that proof
yeah.
point,
yeah.
right? And so, you know, that's been a real, that mm-hmm. was, that I think was a real like kind of interesting part of the movie when, you know, it's like her, the mom, the sacrifice, all of that, what the mom did for her, how she, you know, he sent for the mom when she was, you know, and that piece, and how it can shift and it can change, right? Yeah. Because we can start creating from now.
Yeah. So I know when I was watching it, I mean, I work in the money niche, so I'm naturally drawn towards, you know, an abundance of money. So, you know, throughout the movie, I looked at it as like, you know, when I see that, you know, I wasn't turned off by it. I was like, yes, yeah. What can I do with that? What can I do with that? I'd like to be able to, like, someone says, like, you know, high five. You know, I wasn't like, oh, you know, it's not attainable or anything like that. So you probably saw it in the same way too, because you've been there. You've created, I mean, not ultra. I mean, I don't think very few people in the world can say that. Oh, yeah, I can relate to that.
Yeah. I did okay for myself. Yeah.
Yeah. And so now that you made that shift and everything, is there still a push and a goal to kind of like duplicate and then some you've been able to achieve?
Always. Yeah. So I mean, I think that's the thing. It's so funny because that you're, you know, and again, I speak from personal experience of how, like, your old thought processes, your old beliefs, your thoughts of lack will continuously come up. Mm-hmm. And they'll either come up from, you know, internally from your own kind of like life, or from the outside world, right? Why do you need that? Oh, why would you want that? Like, you just need enough to live. And I'm like, what's enough? Like,
what's enough, right?
What's enough? Like, I literally had somebody not too long ago say, oh, well, you know, we don't need more money because we make good money. And I'm like, well, why? What if you made great money?
What would how would that then be, right?
Right. Like, how, like, why? I don't understand how you would stop it. Like, why would you stop it? And it's like, you know, I have this thing that I say all the time. I love cars. I was like, I love all the cars that were in the movie. I was like, oh my God, I want them all. Like, I wanted them all. And so for me, I'm like, oh, when I turn 50, I want to buy a Bentley convertible. Like, uh-huh. That's my dream car, right? Uh-huh. And I've had a couple of other of my dream cars, and I'm like, that's the ultimate dream car. And I'm like, that's the one I want. And I've had family members say, oh, why do you need that? That's so obnoxious. And I'm like, I don't really care what you think, because it just represents that I worked my butt off, like, to just do something. It doesn't mean that I'm now not a good person, or that now I'm not
able to serve to others. All of a sudden, it's right. It's a story that gets activated in their mind about what's going on. So I would be, if I could somehow see all the money stories that were running through people's mind throughout the whole entire movie. I mean, I could probably do every episode for the rest of this year talking about the different money stories that have popped up, you know? I mean, tell me, for you, for example, I mean, what was one money story that popped up at any given point in the movie? Good, bad, ugly, whatever, you know?
I mean, I think like what you were saying before is like, I saw stuff in there that I was like, I'm gonna be like,
I want that, you know?
I love cars. Like, I say it all the time. I want a garage full of cars, you know? I mean, I don't know if it was because when I was a kid, my dad, like, you know, he didn't have boys, so I was that, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I was the one that, like, picked up on, like, that's my thing. Like, that is my biggest thing. The other thing is, like, I want to be able to, like, yeah, get on an airplane, a private airplane, go here, go there, go wherever I want to go, sit on an island by myself, like, with my friends or whatever,
yeah,
you know? Be whisked away,
or in some random boat that's shooting stuff.
A barge, yeah,
with your name on it.
Yeah, like that kind of, like, next level, like the wedding. Oh my God, that part in the
that was crazy.
When they were talking about all, I was like, okay, I don't want that much, because, you know, even when I got married, I was like, oh, I don't want to spend the money. I didn't want, like, so when I got married, I didn't want to spend money on I spent it on the honeymoon.
Yeah, because that's where the memories are made.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, is interesting the conversations they were having before the wedding started about how much was spent on this wedding and how much they were wanting to spend. And I was like, really? You know, and this is the part that actually I don't, you know, and the sad thing is those conversations actually happen.
Yeah.
You know, and as much as I want to say, like, oh, Hollywood, don't portray things. Well, yes, it does happen. But do we need to continue to feed the public that have challenging money stories in their lives this perception that keeps them away from wanting that abundance? Because right. if you buy into that, it's like, well, I don't want to be like that. So guess what? Right. I don't need to be making multi-million dollars. And let me get it clear for the audience out there. Not everybody is that driven by money. And not everybody feels that they need to or want to have that money, you know?
And that's fine.
And that's totally fine. We're talking to those that actually want it but are like, you know, shutting themselves down to, you know...
Yeah,
so that they don't allow themselves, they're denying themselves right. that natural push, like, well, I'd like to have that money so I can do more on this planet.
Yeah.
I can help more people.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, for sure. I mean, and I think that, you know, if we can take it to like what's happening on social media and one particular family who we will leave nameless, I don't want to give them any more press, but we all know who we're talking about, that, you know, kind of talks to this whole like, oh, we could just be rich just by taking pictures. You know, taking selfies, and then you have this whole generation that's watching these women who, okay, so now they're doing things, they're modeling, they're cosmetics, they're doing whatever, but at the same time, it's kind of like, what are these young girls that are following that example thinking about money and how they're going to get it? Are they actually thinking they're going to work for it? Are they actually thinking, oh, let's find somebody and marry that guy?
Right.
You know, and then we'll be taken care of.
Well, I mean, I think social media, what a lot of the young kids need to recognize is that there's always more to the story than what you see.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of these kids are finding out this, I want to be a YouTube sensation and everything. And then they go behind the scenes and realize these kids that are successful on YouTube, they're working day and night nonstop. Yeah. I actually got a snapshot of what one, I need to bring them on my show to interview them. But I got a snapshot of what one YouTube sensation goes through. And I was like, I actually don't want that lifestyle.
Yeah,
they're constantly working. They're constantly doing, and their life is—it's kind of like the Truman Show, but in modern day, you know, YouTube land, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think a lot of these young kids need to kind of be willing to do their due diligence and kind of say, "Well, sure, you can have that," and go deeper and see what's really behind the scenes. Right,
and all the other things that come with that too, right? Like, I mean, you know, the So, you know, if we take the bachelorette party, right? And all of, like, that was next level. I was like, dang. You know? I was like, that is mean stuff. And so... Then you think about, like, okay, well, when you're putting yourself out there on social media, you're doing all this stuff, and you don't know what's happening behind the scenes, and then you have to face the bullies of the cyber bullies and all of that stuff. Like, can you actually handle it?
Yeah.
Is
your skin thick enough, right?
Is your skin thick enough? And is your desire to fly, right? Like, is your why to fly, like...
Yeah.
So
I like that, why to fly.
Around.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not... I didn't coin that. A friend of mine did. My mentor actually did it yesterday on a call, and I was like, I love it. I'm going to use it.
I know. Good. I'm glad you didn't take ownership like a lot of people out there do.
No. I didn't take
ownership. You know what I'm talking about, right? That's not your phrase.
No.
Try to own it. I know where that came from. Stop it.
But yeah, like, they, you know, if they understand, like, they're going to have to face challenges, right? I mean, and the thick skin is what you need,
right?
And
that thick skin is, I mean, it's not like it's an overnight thing.
Handled that in the movie, though, by the way.
Huh?
I love the way she handled that in the movie.
Oh yeah, yes,
that was brilliant.
Yeah, you know, and they gave a little instance of that type of character trait from her from the very beginning when she was in her class. And she was teaching something. You could show a little bit about her personality and what her perspective is on kind of like in life in general, like being able to not, you know, she takes her time to make her decision and to think about what's to be said next type of thing.
Right.
So it was really cool. I mean, yeah, I mean, overall, I think the movie was pretty well made. And, you know, a lot of people were raving about it. To the point where I went there, I had this massive expectation, and I was like, oh, yeah, it's a good movie, you know? But I was just like, and then I said, but wait a minute. This totally speaks to what I talk about every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, wow, you know, we could do something with this. So
so
what a cool treat. So let's sum it up for those that have been listening to our banter that went all over the map today.
Okay,
so some of the key points, if we can remember, that we address here, obviously about the relationship piece, you know, like I said, I call out for men who feel emasculated because your woman is making more money than you. Get over it, enjoy it, love her for who she is, and just leave it at that, and she'll do the same for you. Unless, of course, she's using the money to emasculate you on purpose, and you see that, then get some therapy. If she won't turn it around, then basically, then you know what the answer is. But if that's not happening, get over yourself, right?
Yep.
And actually, it takes bigger balls, actually, I would say, takes bigger balls to kind of honor the successful woman that you actually, you are in love with, supposedly, and she's in love with you, in spite of the fact, not in spite, but she doesn't care about the money, right?
Right.
So that's one point right there. What was another thing that we talked about that we want to make sure we highlight?
I just got some background noise. I think the part about the sacrifice, right? Being raised by that single mom, what does that make you? Does it take away or add to who you are as a human being?
And right.
How do you use that story?
Yeah.
Right? Or how do you allow others to use it, you know, towards you?
And just because your parents sacrificed for you doesn't mean you need to sacrifice yourself to atone for what they sacrificed for.
Yeah.
You should honor them by not having to sacrifice and really kind of ride along what they were willing to do for you.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
Yeah. So that's a good one too, right?
Yep. That's a good one.
And I think, you know, I think another point is to, you know, paying attention to the stories that are triggered by seeing these types of circumstances and then observing the fact that when those stories come up, those are your stories and yours alone. And you want to ask yourself, is that helping you achieve that? And if you are drawn towards that level of abundance and prosperity, don't deny yourself of that and just say, and make yourself wrong for that.
Right.
You know, find a way to say, okay, great. That's one way to do it. What's my way of doing it? Right.
Right. You know, I love it.
So that's another one. And there's so many more, but
there's so many more.
Yeah. How do we even know each other? I know we're I don't even remember now. I was thinking about it earlier. I was like going, how did we connect on Facebook? But this fascinates me too, because I have a lot of friends on there. I was like, oh, and I look at their profile, I was like, oh, I still don't know why we're friends.
I still don't know. Yeah. We can figure that out later.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But anyway, we're coming to the top of the hour, believe it or not. There's only a couple minutes left. I wanna thank you so much, and now that I gotten to know you a little bit more. Yeah, it took for me to get you on air, for me to actually spend some time to actually get to know you. This is so cool because we speak a lot of the same language and would love to kind of highlight your story, your journey, because I'm pretty sure on the right platform, we can inspire a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of women that you actually, and then, you know, help people kind of see a different side of you. So would love to have you back on the show on your own episode, not about Crazy Rich Asians, you know, and then make sure that you stick around afterwards so we can debrief a little bit.
Sure.
But love the insight. Thank you so much for coming
on
today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sit tight for a little bit as we wrap it up. So that's our show for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Again, if you found this show to be valuable and know of someone else that could benefit from what we talk about today, share it. Absolutely share it, especially to people who have already seen it, because there's a bunch of spoilers in there who have already seen Crazy Rich Asians. And make sure you review us on iTunes or give us a thumbs up on YouTube Live. You can also like us on Spreaker, but iTunes, I think, is the biggest one. We're also on Spotify now. So basically, you can go on Spotify, search The Money Lab, and we'll show up. We even have a Facebook group called The Money Lab. So join us there to dive even deeper into bad money stories and elimination strategies and all the other things. Apparently, we talk about relationships too and all this other stuff. So that's a wrap. Have an amazing week. Apply the knowledge that you may have picked up from today. And we'll catch you next week on the Money Lab Live podcast, where we have prosperity, feng shui, and energy specialist Irene Freitas talk about money and prosperity. This is Wei from the Six Figure Academy and future guest Andrew Correa signing off. Thank you. Okay.